You know what? Just 3 more days to Ready Player One.
I thought this was the Ready Player One pre-podcast record.
We can make it that. That's all right. White Rocket Entertainment. White Rocket Entertainment, podcast number 334.
This is the AU Wishbone, continued off-season coverage.
A miracle in Jordan Hare! A miracle in Jordan Hare!
You are listening to the AU Wishbone, almost credible sports discussion on the War Eagle Sports Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to the AU Wishbone, brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment in association with the WarEagleReader.com and the War Eagle Sports Radio Network, and by people like you, the Auburn family, and the AU Wishbone family via Patreon.com. I'm Van Allen Plexico, and I'm joined as always by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
And John, we are here to talk about a couple of stories, I guess. There is the end of the basketball season that we can put a kind of a punctuation mark on. It's already been about a week since that ended, but we can talk about it. And, of course, we have spring practice going on with the football team now, which is pretty exciting. Although some of the things that have been happening there are somewhat deflating and disappointing, but there are good things to take from it, too. Let me crack open my sparkling Ice Mountain black cherry water. Hope I haven't shaken it up. Haven't. Good. Okay.
That would be really funny if you had, though.
Oh, Lord, the humanity. Yeah, it would be awful. Okay, so I guess we should start out by talking a little bit about the basketball team. It's really kind of a two different narratives that I want to explore quickly. One of those narratives is, man, the season ended in a disappointing fashion. The only win we had after basically the South Carolina game to wrap up the season was that opening round of the NCAA tournament, and that's, when we got killed by Clemson, and we got killed by Alabama in the second half of the SEC tournament. There's a lot of negative you can look at. But you can flip it over, though. The other narrative is, John, we won the SEC, and we got to the second round of the NCAA tournament after not being there for 15 years. So it really is a kind of a half-full, half-empty kind of a deal, isn't it?
It is. And I think a lot of it, your perception of that half-full, half-empty story has to do with how you set your expectations at midseason when it was obvious the team was good.
Yeah.
If your expectations were, this is all gravy, we were predicted to finish low in the SEC, and we lost, pure for Wiley, and this team's amazing, and I'm just going to enjoy every minute, then you were probably fine with it. And if your expectations were, man, this team is good, I'm going to be unhappy if we don't make the Final Four, then you were probably really disappointed.
Yeah, and I think that's it, is that January and February, a big chunk of February, were so sublime. They were just the team. Here's an example. When the team was playing at its best, they were doing those alley-oop plays and just doing them like they were doing it in practice, just clockwork. When things started going bad for them, which was the same game that McLemore got hurt, although before he got hurt, they didn't do it. I don't remember them executing an alley-oop play like that the entire rest of the way. Do you?
There may have been one in there in the home game against Alabama, but
that's about it. If there was, it was like during that game. Was that A&M? I think that was A&M. That game where he got hurt, where everything started going down. Or was it the first South Carolina?
That was South Carolina.
The first South Carolina, yeah. It's like something happened at that first South Carolina game that the shooting started to decline, although it absolutely hit rock bottom the last 3 or 4 games. But the shooting started to decline. They weren't playing together smoothly as a team the way they had been. The defense stopped being the rock solid unit that it had been. It's like something just broke. It's like the race car suddenly started putting smoke out, and there was a knock in the engine, and one of the cylinders went out, and it just never got much better, you know?
I would step back and say that, to me, it was like the race car was over-revving to get to the January and February thing.
Okay.
And, yeah, when McLemore went out, at that point, like, that's when the smoke started pouring out. And I think also, like, especially without him, Auburn was easier to defend, and Auburn wasn't nearly as effective on defense. Teams could, you know, work against Auburn much easier without McLemore in the lane. And, I mean, I think both ends of the floor, the rebounding really went downhill after that.
Mm-hmm.
That was a huge thing that and I think also, I think the team honestly was kind of overachieving a little bit when it was playing so great, and you know, before that,
well, they were making their shots. I mean, when they were making three pointers when they needed to, especially
but
Brown.
The other part of it was, I think if we'd have stepped back before the season and looked at the schedule and said this team's going to be good, let's look at the schedule and kind of break it down in chunks, we would have looked at that last stretch, the last five or six games, and said, this is the hardest part of the schedule.
Yeah.
I mean, a road games at South Carolina was a Final Four team last year. We had a road game at Florida in there, you know, a road game in Arkansas in there.
Texas A&M going to like the
Texas A&M 16, and yeah. A home game against Alabama. I mean, there was some really tough games in there. And so I think that, you know, the fact that we were playing a tough stretch, you know, while losing McLemore, and the team was kind of, and I also think the team had kind of gone from this gritty underachievers to the favorites. I think that was a big thing psychologically, is remember at the beginning, there was all this, they're wearing the 4 and the 14 yeah. shirts and all that. And then it got to a certain point where it was like they were the hunted.
Yep.
Where other teams are like, this team's the first place, we need to go after them. And so I think that was a big difference for them.
Well, they're going to have Purifoy back. We know that now. He's going to have to miss.
Easy.
What?
Are we going to start talking about next year, right? Is that where we're going? I mean, the NCAA has ruled that Purifoy can come back.
He's already said he's going to. Did you miss that?
I did not miss that. It's a long way between now and then.
Well, I mean, I think all I have to go by is what we know right now. If you have telepathy and can tell me, if you have precognition and can tell me what's going to happen in August, that's great. But I'm just going by what we know right now. I mean, I'm not quite. What am I missing here? I'm confused.
I would not assume that we're going to have everybody on the roster this year plus Purifoy and Wiley.
I didn't assume that. I said we're going to have Purifoy back, according to him, and according to NCAA. According to all indications that we have at the current moment. I mean, the whole team could go off of a cliff in a bus accident, for that matter. But as far as what we know right now, as where we stand right now on March 26, 2018, the NCAA has said that Purifoy can come back. He has to miss like 30% of the season or something. But other than that, he can come back. And he has then said, okay, then I'm going to. I don't know anything about Wiley. I was about to ask you that. And as far as the rest of the team, I don't think any of them are going to the NBA right now. So I'm assuming most of them are going to be back, if not all. So my question I was about to ask you is, given that we allegedly are getting Purifoy back, getting that we allegedly will have the rest of the team back, what do you see happening with Wiley?
I mean, the rumor is Heron is going. He's going to try and test the waters. I don't think he's an NBA draft pick, certainly not a first round pick. But I think he could make money playing in Europe tomorrow. So the question is, does he want to do that or stay in school? So the rumor is that he's going to try and go. Wiley, I don't know. I mean, I've heard both ways. I've heard people say they don't think he's coming back, and I've heard people say they think he really is coming back. He would make a huge difference, I think, with his size. But for him, I mean, I think he made – the way the college rule works with the NBA now, you can stick your toe in the water, kind of go through the evaluation process, and then you still have a chance to pull out and go back to school.
Right.
You know, it's more than the NFL thing where they basically email you a report and tell you roughly what round you're going. It's, you can go through the pre-draft workouts with teams a little bit and stuff and get a feel for it. And so I think Wiley's going to try and do that. But the NBA has changed. It's not like it was, you know, 20 years ago when if you were at 6'11 and you could had a pulse and you could play, then you were going to be a first-round draft pick. Mm-hmm. They want smaller guys who are better shooters, who can handle the ball and stuff, and more, and to be, they want big guys who are more athletic. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know what his NBA prospects are right now. It's especially, you know, he's not super durable. He's had a lot of injuries. So I think, I mean, in that sense, like, it makes sense for him to come back.
Right.
But given all that, I mean, I think, and we have, you know, the other guy that we have that we didn't have this year is this guy, Samir Dowdy, who's a transfer from VCU who sat out this year. And that guy can play. I mean, I think, like, if Mustafa Heron left, this guy could fill his role. He could be that guy. So I think, you know, I think Auburn is, with those guys coming back, Auburn is a legitimate, you know, top 15 team and one of the favorites to win the SEC. 100% think that.
Well, it would be nice. I mean, I just hope it's not one of these deals like with our two running backs last season in football, where we just can't ever get everybody on the field at the same, or the court at the same time, you know?
I mean, the Purifoy thing, I don't understand the NCAA decision. Like, that has to be the longest punishment of any player in history, right? In terms of a percentage of their career.
It's crazy.
I mean, a season and a third or whatever. Like, I don't understand that. So
I don't understand why he's, I mean, if he did something that heinous, why are you letting him have any eligibility at all? And if you're letting him have eligibility, why are you making him miss that much? It just, that's just strange. It really is strange.
But no, I mean, I think you're right. I think he's 100 all along said he wants to be back, and I think he could make a difference for this team. I think clearly depth was a huge issue, and having another guy who could be kind of a scorer, a kind of go-to guy, could make a huge difference for this team. It helps spread the load a little bit. So I mean, I think he would make it, and he can, you know, help defend some of the more physical small forwards and stuff in the league.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think he could really, really make a difference. And I think, I mean, Auburn, is going to be obviously a favorite. It's going to be a lot more hype and pressure on them next year, but like, they also have a schedule. They're playing in the big Hawaii tournament next year with a bunch of, A-list blue blood kind of teams. And that'll be like on TV at Christmas time. We'll be watching Auburn play basketball in Hawaii, and Bruce Pearl will be wearing a Hawaiian shirt or something. So
and sweating through it. That's nice.
That's it. You have that to look forward to. So, I'm excited about the basketball team. And I think, I mean, it really is a case where, like, if Heron didn't leave and Wiley and Purifoy came back and Dowdy came, we almost have too many guys. I mean, then we would have, like, you know, because that's adding, like, you know, A. Macklemore came back 100% healthy.
That's four more guys that we didn't have in the season.
That's like four guys we didn't have in the NCAA tournament game. And so then really you're almost like it's too many almost. I mean, clearly some guys, you know, you could scale back their minutes and stuff. But that's a lot of guys for one basketball.
And that's not even counting any new players coming in like brand new, you know, that we don't know about. Like the recruiting class.
I mean, they have one really high profile recruit who's trying to get reclassified to play next year. I mean, who's currently scheduled to sign, you know, whatever, a year from sign this fall and then be eligible the following season. But he's trying to do the Wiley thing and get reclassified to even play next year. So,
oh, okay. Do we need him? I don't know.
Certainly not if Wiley and Purifoy come back, I don't think. But I think if Wiley doesn't come back, another big guy could really. We need one more big guy, I think.
You know, it's funny. I mean, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Just not a guy, not somebody that can score, but just another big guy to. Yeah. Defend inside or rebound or play defense because other teams bigs. I mean, we really, really could use that. So, I mean, either a JUCO guy or a grad transfer or a regular transfer or something. I don't know.
If you'd asked me in the middle of February, do I want Wiley and Purifoy back? We talked about this. We didn't really want them back at the time because we had chemistry. Mm-hmm. Well, at the end of the season, we probably would have happily taken them. What do you think about what Purifoy might do to the chemistry next year?
I don't think Purifoy was the chemistry problem last year.
Okay.
I think it was the other guy, I've completely forgotten his name, who was on the team last year, who was the older guy who's gone. You're going to make me Google the roster here.
We had the big guy, the big center guy, the big heavy guy.
He was a good guard.
John is looking up the answer.
Nothing could be more interesting than this, could it?
Nothing. This is good radio. This is huge.
And I say huge!
Keep talking.
You could ask your wife, but...
She is married. Then her husband will tell her what her opinions are.
What are you talking about?
I'm hitting buttons. You can't hear it. Yeah, for folks that don't know, John's not able to hear the soundboard tonight, which is like free license for me. We think that it's something in Skype that's doing it, but...
I don't have facts to back this up.
So I'm just going to...
Blame yourself.
So I'm guessing I'm missing soundboard. Is
you're
that what's
missing
happening?
A lot of sound. You're missing a lot.
You can't be serious, man.
My idea of a perfect government is
anyhow,
one guy who sits in a small room at a desk, and the only
good
thing-
gosh, that was way too long.
He was the problem.
Supposedly, he was the guy who was about I have to get my touches and minutes and that kind of stuff. And I think that spread to other. When you have an older guy who acts like that, I think it spreads to other players. And so this year. He wasn't around, and the attitude is more like we're out for the team and less for individual stuff. So.
Okay, gotcha. All right. Well, that's basketball. Any other basketball thoughts before we move on to spring practice?
No, other than don't let the way the season ended color how much you enjoyed it. It was a great season.
Yeah,
it was a historically great season, and it was a really fun season. And don't let the kind of the ash in your mouth from the Clemson game ruin that for you.
Please clap.
Okay. Well, I agree. It was just good to have Auburn basketball make me want to turn the game on and not just be like a chore. Like, oh, I guess I should turn on the basketball game. I was excited. It was my happy place for 2 months, and that was awesome. Let's see. Spring practice got underway. And there have been a couple of receivers, a couple of injuries in the receiving corps. That's probably been the biggest news so far, that and the fact that we can only complete passes to the defense. So we've had a lot of negative. We've had a lot of negative come out of the...
I don't think it's negative. I mean, the injuries are negative.
Well, yeah, the injuries are definitely negative. But the quarterbacks throwing the ball the wrong color jersey is probably not good either.
Maybe our defense is just great.
Yeah, we've always said that, though. Every year, like 1998, we're like, oh, the offense can't move the ball in defense. We must have the greatest defense of all time. No, we really didn't. Look, I'm sure the defense is great. I'm sure that's fine. I just, incomplete passes would be fine, but I don't want to hear about all these wild interceptions that our young quarterbacks are throwing up. I don't think it was all. Here's the thing that's really disturbing: if they were all being thrown by what's his name? The
true, Gatewood.
Gatewood, the true freshman. Then I'd be like, that's fine. I mean, I'm sure when Cam was a freshman, he was throwing interceptions too. But it was apparently Malik that was doing a lot of this interceptioning. And that's disturbing to me.
I mean, he's basically a freshman. He's been there a year. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know. Let's start with the wide receiver thing and then get
into the Let's start with that. So first, Eli Stove, our jet sweep guy and good possession receiver, apparently had an ACL, and he's out at least till the fall. So he's not going to get
And that's, you know, pushing it.
Is that one of those things where they keep telling us that, and here comes the bowl practice in December, and we're still talking about, well, maybe he'll play in the bowl?
Yes.
So he's out for the year, isn't he?
I would really suspect it. Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, maybe he could be back for the middle of the year, but, you know, they could redshirt him too.
And then Will Hastings, John, the little guy.
Heisman Will Hastings.
BYU, as I like to think of him. It's still a mystery. I haven't heard any details about this other than this. He was hurt and somebody said, quote, it doesn't look good, unquote.
Yeah, that's all. I mean, there are no details. I actually was searching the internet before the podcast started just now, but see if I could find anything else. And I haven't found anything. So, you know, there's speculation, but there's nothing serious news out there that we know. So, but it's not good. I mean, you know, he had a good bowl game last year. And, you know, clearly he was trying to kind of find his way. And We have depth at receiver, you know, but right this minute, we don't have a ton of depth at receiver.
Right.
I mean, because with those guys out, we don't have a ton. And Ryan Davis has had the flu and has missed a few practices recently. So there aren't a ton of other guys out there. A lot of the freshman receivers aren't here yet. So, yeah, but I think, you know, I mean, I think Stove is a good player, but I think in that role, he's replaceable.
Right.
You know, the jet sweep, you know, kind of screen guy. I think he's replaceable in that. Right. Hastings as the possession guy, he was maybe more valuable. Mm-hmm. And we need somebody to do that. You know, Ryan Davis could keep doing that. But, you know, really looking at, like, you know, Ryan Davis, Nate Craig Myers, and
the good gosh. Slayton.
Darius Slayton. Thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, really look at those three guys as the guys.
Pretty much.
You know? I mean, we got some freshmen coming in, some talented-looking guys. You know, we got Marquise McLean, who, you know, caught a few balls but hasn't done a lot of anything. And Igbinyani's playing defense now.
Yeah,
he's, you know, he's not coming back over.
I was gonna say it may be time to move him back over.
No, I think apparently he's doing great on defense.
Really,
they love him over there. So, I mean, he might have a chance to start on defense. Apparently, so.
I mean, is our depth that thin on defense that we're better off having him play over there than play on offense with the depth there?
I think so. I mean, I think like they like their starters in the secondary. I think we have decent starters. But I think once you get past that, I don't think they love any of the backup guys. So really then you got Igbinyani and you got the guys that just signed.
Yeah.
So like that would be like, you know, Christian Tutt and Smoke Monday, those guys. Sure. So you put those guys with Igbinyani and you got some depth behind the starters. I think they don't love the other guys.
Those guys are getting good reviews.
Oh, yeah. No, they're making plays. I mean, so I think people feel pretty good about them.
Yeah. So Jarrett Stidham, he's still not really playing, but just throwing the ball around.
Yeah, kind of jogging around, not taking snaps and moving the team, whatever, but just kind of jogging around, throwing the ball a little bit. But so definitely not going to play an A-Day. Nobody thinks that.
Yeah.
And you know, you'd like for him to be playing and continuing to, you know, practice with the team and timing with the receivers and all that. But it's what it is, and it's good. You know, hopefully It helps the young quarterbacks advance. But he, I mean, I think everybody thinks Stidham is going to be fine in the long term. It's just right now, you know, trying to not take any chances and not rush him.
Right. Talked about the little young guys in the secondary. The running back competition is what I've been really interested in because we've talked about this before, that, and now we're getting to actually see him out there, and it sounds like I can see that right now when I talk about our new running back, I'm going to have to take my Beavis and Butthead sound effect and just cut out everything but the laughing because they call him Booby.
Hey Beavis,
Tre'Davious Booby Whitlow.
Let's go fishing.
Yeah. Okay. Well, he apparently is like the most built like an every down running back. Because we talked about this before that we have some very talented running backs, but they're, you know, if you're looking for like a, if you're looking for an SUV to carry the load, we have like a, we have like a Solstice, and we have a van, and we, you know, we have everything except,
and we got like a Fiero.
Yeah, exactly. We got everything but an every down rugged back right now. You can, now we know you can turn players into that, but at the moment, he's apparently the closest thing we have to a, to just a standard eye back. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Tailback. So how do you see this shaking out then?
I mean, it's crazy. Maybe he's the front runner right now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a long way to go. And I think the freshman, Asa Martin, is definitely going to play. And he's getting some looks at kick returner and that kind of stuff too. I think they're definitely going to use him there. But
I
think Whitlow's going to be in the rotation for sure, the way it sounded like.
Who's the other freshman running back that's come in? He's Joyner? Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's supposed to be pretty solid too, right?
Yeah, but they think he's more of a fullback kind of type.
Okay. Well, the thing I saw that I was not at all surprised about was that apparently Gus came right out and said they are putting an extra big emphasis this year on, when they evaluate the running backs and decide on who, you know, playing time and who starts and everything, they're putting a whole lot of emphasis this year on blocking. And that didn't surprise me at all, because what's the thing that we know about some of our backs like Martin, right, is that they're not the greatest. It's not that
they get run over.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that Martin doesn't try or whatever, but he's not a 250-pound power back. He's not going to be able to stop some big bull rusher. He's just not, no matter what he does. You know, pull a knife on him or something maybe, pull a blackjack, but other than that, he's just not going to stop it. So yeah, you have to think that you still want, I mean, without Booby, we're basically a team of running backs that are all very good, but they're Corey Grants and Ontario McCalebs, among other things, you know. And you're looking for that Trey Mason, Cameron Artis Payne guy.
Late Trey Mason. I think we have some, we might have some early Trey Masons.
Yeah, I think that our guy that caught the flare passes last year, that
Barrett.
Was Barrett, yeah. Not Barrett Salee.
Devin Barrett.
Yeah, I like old Barrett Salee out there catching passes in the flat last year. Yeah.
6'1", half dozen the other.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, Devin Barrett. I think he's kind of a young Trey Mason, and by the end of his career, he could be a good tailback. But right now, he really seems more like a short yardage receiver almost, the way they're using him. In fact, I can't remember any running back we've ever had where they only let him run one play the whole season. I mean, other than the jet sweep. I mean, obviously the jet sweep has always been the play where one running back runs it every time he touches the ball, that's the play he runs. But I don't, have we ever had the dump pass guy and that's all he does?
I don't know.
That's just odd. It's weird. It's like in the NFL, they have the third down backs that occasionally take a draw, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But this is just odd. Okay. Well, we'll see how it goes. I mean, how do you think it's going to probably shake out? You feel like it's going to be Booby and then maybe Devin Barrett and Martin? Or where's what about Malik Miller?
No, maybe I'm wrong. I don't see Malik Miller doing it. I think it's going to be those three guys, Whitlow, Asa Martin,
and Devin Barrett.
I think it's going to be those three guys.
What about Cam Martin?
I don't know. I like Cam Martin. I think he's really explosive and stuff. And he was really effective when he was in the game last year.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't know. I think he's just not big. I mean, he's, I don't know. I mean, I think he was really effective, we should have played him more last year.
I know. And yet he couldn't block, allegedly. But he's one of those guys we talked about that gets stopped, and then gets you 18 yards.
Mm-hmm.
John, I just got handed from one of our producers here in the Palatial White Rocket Studios, I just got handed a notice that Mel Rosen, the track coach, has passed away.
Mm.
The famous Auburn track coach has passed away. So he must have been up there pretty far. In fact, I'll pull a page from your book and look something up live on the air.
I mean, he was there in the 1980s.
He was 90.
Okay.
Yeah, legendary Auburn track and field coach Mel Rosen passes away at 90.
Rest in peace, Coach Rosen.
Yeah, isn't the track named after him or something?
It is.
Yeah. Auburn's legendary track and field coach and noted coach at the Olympic and world championship level passed away Sunday at the age of 90. Came to Auburn in 1955 as an assistant professor in the physical education department before becoming an assistant track coach and ultimately Auburn's head coach from 1963 to 1991. He stepped down at the end of the 91 season to become the head coach of the 92 U.S. Men's Olympic team. How about that? He coached 7 Olympians, 143 All-Americans, 63 SEC indoor and outdoor champions, and 8 NCAA champions, including Harvey Glantz, Willie Smith, and James Walker. He was named NCAA Coach of the Year 3 times, SEC Coach of the Year 4 times, while leading the Tigers to 11 top 10 finishes and 5 SEC championships. Wow. And at the 92 Olympics in Barcelona, Rosen coached the men's team to its best showing since 1956 with 8 gold medals and 3 world records. Wow. That is an impressive resume right there. So
it is.
All right. Well, in memory of Coach Rosen, I'm glad we found that out on the air. So what do you think about our two backup quarterbacks, other than the fact that they can't tell which jersey to throw the ball to?
I think it's way too hard on them. I mean, I think the defense is really, really good, and they're, you know, again, freshmen, young players with a rebuilding offensive line who haven't really settled on who the starters are going to be yet. Uncertainty at running back, injuries at wide receiver, and people are like, oh my gosh, they had a bad scrimmage. You know, like I expected the defense to eat them for lunch. So I'm not. I mean, again, if Stidham played and he, you know, looked terrible, would anybody worry about that? Like, I mean, anybody go, oh, he's not any good? Like, I think he's kind of proved what he is. So I think it's about throwing him in the fire and making a word from it.
Yeah.
The things they could get away with in high school, they can't get away with anymore. It's better they do with it now and learn from it now than when they get to, if they have to go in a real game.
Have you heard that Nick Coe is tearing it up?
I mean, I heard he's playing well. I mean, he played well last year. That doesn't surprise me a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's a guy that was, you know, he's not close to the peak of what he can do.
And that's a very good thing for us.
Mm-hmm.
Who else on defense have you heard special mention of? I mean, I think that a couple of the cornerbacks have been doing, but Roberts been doing well. I think he picked off a couple of those interceptions, in fact.
Mm-hmm. And I think Moultrie and young, some of the other young linebackers think of making some plays. So
I'm going to have to come up with a line for Moultrie. It's the opposite of the Ray Goff line. I have to say something like, if you can't hang with Moultrie, you ain't you need to eat more poultry. I don't know.
You got to workshop that one.
I will. I'll throw it out there. Anything else about the defense or practice?
Legatron Jr. looking good.
The bookstore. I love that's one of it. I love his. He's got two awesome nicknames: Legatron Jr. and the bookstore. It would be funny if his if he had a younger brother named JM. That'd be great. But yeah, he apparently he was tearing it up, including a 52-yarder. This is good. This is good. Mm-hmm. I mean, we just keep that Carlson pipeline rolling. Keep it going. I think one of our kickers just signed a new contract with the Broncos or the Dolphins or something. Cody Parkey.
Cody Parkey. Yeah.
Yeah. Heck yeah. I don't know why people don't mention it. I guess because it's a kicker, but we are kicker you. I'm sorry.
We're turning into kicker you.
Auburn is kicker you. I mean, we're a lot of other things too. We know we're running back you and all that. We are kicker you. That may be the title of this episode tonight, no matter of fact, because I always, you know, but we are dang well kicker you. We've talked about this before. The last time we didn't have a great kicker was probably 86, and now I get, you know, tweets from people defending our kicker in 86. Before that, though, we had great ones, too. Let me thank our patrons. You know, we are on the air, and we are only on the air every 2 or 3 weeks during the basketball season, basically, because there's just not a whole lot going on. But now that spring practice is ramping up, we got A-Day coming up remarkably soon. We'll be on the air more frequently, of course. And then coming up this fall, and John, we got to start planning. We got to start thinking about fall because our Patreon is our patrons demand that we go and do a live show on the road somewhere, either Auburn or somewhere else. So have you been putting any thought at all into where we're going to go?
I have. We'll discuss it off the air before we talk about it on the air.
You always say that, but we need to actually do that. We need to actually have that conversation. Got plans to make. But we are. We're going to do that. It's going to be awesome. We're looking forward to that. And we appreciate the patrons making that possible, along with this new microphone I have here. I got this nice, spanking, nice, super-duper microphone, because as everybody that listens to the show regularly knows, I've had so much trouble with my microphone over the last few years that I finally have retired it. It's sitting over here on the desk because I think it just couldn't, for whatever reason, it was not working well with this computer. It might still be okay, but it just was not playing well with others. And so I got this nice, it's a Blue Yeti. It's silver, but the name of the company is Blue, and it's a Yeti model. And it's really good. I think it sounds even better than the old one. So that's all thanks to the patrons. All thanks to the patrons. If you want to join the family, we got to talk in a minute about how the family got to do are in the middle of our pick'em for the NCAA tournament. And we've done other things, and we're going to do lots more activities for the patrons in the future. Just go to www.patreon.com, patreon.com. And when you get there, you can, in a little search box, just search Plexico, Plexico, so patreon.com. I mean, you can just type the whole thing in and go patreon.com/VanAllenPlexico. Van Allen Plexico, one word. Or, as I always say, if you want to just go the easy route, go to www.plexico.net. That's my website where I've got links to everything, all the AU Wishbone shows, all the White Rocket shows, all the On Her Majesty's Secret podcast shows. In fact, I have another episode of that with Alan coming up tomorrow night. We're going to be looking at You Only Live Twice. Just go to www.plexico.net and you find links to everything, including my new book, Vegas Heist, which has just come out and is kicking butt all over Amazon. Let me thank our great patrons. These are the folks that help us stay on the air and get this show out. Of course, Nicholas Cottrell, along with Joseph Fine, Christopher Burleson, and Samuel Salvatore. Phil Amthor of WeHaveDonuts.com. I hope you've been patronizing Phil and his amazing donuts. They are fantastic at WeHaveDonuts.com all over the state of Alabama. Steve Trawick, Richard Stevens, Justin Bean. Then there's David Evers, Tom Anderson, Timothy, Dan Thompson, Wes Atkinson, Steve Harlan, Andrew Barber, Jared Albrick, Rich Reimer, Bill Matthews, Chris Usher, Will Summerford, John McCune, and Catherine England. Then there's David Simpson, Josh Teal, Mike Finley, Randall Walker, C.T. Wayne, Earl Ricks, Dave Powell, Michael Kirshner, Mick Vigicana, Matt Rubenheimer, Chris Thrash, Logan Chilton, George Gaston, Tony Perry, Alex Nguyen. And then we have Clay Henson, J.W. Rice, Ward M. Wade, Dave Medinas, Mark Squire, Joey Miller, Matthew Wagstaff, Russell Milling, Rob Morgan, Stephen Schuster, James Taylor, John Stubbs, Kenneth Brent Rains, Brant Rumble, and Nicholas Craig, plus our one-time anonymous donors. And again, if I leave anybody off, don't take offense. Just let me know and I'll correct it. I got to point out, we've lost a handful of our patrons in the off-season. And I understand that completely, but we need you to stay with us year-round because we kind of budget based on our total not fluctuating. We want it to go up. So bring more people in. Get out there and help us to stay on the air and be able to do our trip to Auburn to entertain you with our show. All right, so that's Patreon, www.patreon, P-A-T-R-E-O-N.com. I believe... We have basketball challenge results.
We do. At this point, the final four left to go, George Gaston is in the lead.
George!
But he had picked UVA to win.
Yeah, so did
and
I.
And the two guys right behind him, Wardam Wade and Buck Sweep, picked different teams. Wardam Wade has Villanova and Buck Sweep has Kansas.
Wow.
So if somebody other than – so if Michigan or Loyola wins, I think George Gaston is going to win. And if Villanova wins, Wardam Wade will win. And if Kansas wins, Buck Sweep will win.
Do you realize
– you are currently in fourth.
Well,
in the entire thing.
Going from the Sweet 16 to the Elite Eight, I was in second. I had sole possession of second place, and I was right behind George. Actually, and I think I was right behind somebody else.
And I am in 13th place. And I'm really upset because I had picked Kentucky to win the whole thing. And I thought when UVA lost and the rest of that bracket, that region fell apart. The path was there for Kentucky to sail through.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. But, here's the thing. I had all of the teams I picked for the Sweet 16 to make it to the Sweet 16 but one, which was Virginia. So I was in great shape after the first round or two. Going from the Sweet 16 to the Elite Eight, I lost like almost every team, just decimated. So if I'm still in fourth, that's just I'm riding off of my old laurels, and that's just going to run out because I don't have hardly anybody left. I think Kansas is the only team I even have left. I had Villanova losing to West Virginia in the Elite Eight, so, and I had Virginia winning it all. So I was in second place for one shining moment, as they say, and it's going to be – I'm going to look like the end of the Auburn season now, just fading. I want to mention right quick, I have quite a few conventions and other appearances lined up for 2018, and I've just updated them on www.plexico.net. And the one that's of some interest to you guys is I will be at the Hoover Sci-Fi and Fantasy Fest at the Hoover Library again this year. It wasn't sure for a while. I didn't get to do it last year because we were gone to Florida during that time. But they asked me back. They're going to give me a table to sell my wares, and I'll be doing some various panels and things. So if you're able to in the Birmingham area, come on out, and you can get and I'll give as we get closer to it. That'll be in the summer. I believe it's in May. I think that's in May. So we'll talk more about it as we get closer to it. But just a chance to actually see some of the Alabama home folks, you know, in Birmingham. which is always a fun time. In fact, I think that's where I got to see Phil Amthor and the We Have Donuts crowd a couple of years ago, is when Phil came by and gave me that box of donuts. So we'll see. I think, John, we have...
It's time for listener questions. Dun, dun, dun. On the AU Wishbone podcast.
All right. What do we got?
It's good that you told me, because I could barely hear the end of it.
Yeah.
All right. First question is a follow-up to something that happened during the Auburn game the other day in the NCAA tournament, where they suggested Lionel Richie as a former Auburn graduate, when actually he was not an Auburn graduate. He attended Auburn for a quarter, I think, and then ended up graduating from Tuskegee. But Gus Rios tweeted, "I'm so disappointed the Auburn Wishbone did not inform me of this sooner."
Well, Lionel Richie did kind of a Jimmy Buffett. They both came to Auburn, bumped around for a very short time doing music stuff, and then went off to get rich. And God bless them. But yeah, my nephew was texting me about that. He's like, "How did I not know this?" And I said, "The real tragedy here is it has deflected attention away from Tony Tennille." Because they listed our famous alumni, and she got bumped off the list.
So if they asked you to pick three or four alumni for a TV spot, I mean, like that, who would you pick?
Well, you got to have Tim Cook now. He's fairly new to the list, but he's the big one right now, obviously. Bo Jackson and Cam Newton, but those are athletes, and Charles Barkley, but those are athletes. I guess our most famous alumni are all celebrity athletes.
We've had astronauts.
Well, that's true. Yeah, we had several astronauts. Yeah, but other than that, it's like Victoria Jackson, Tony Tennille, Jimmy Buffett, Lionel Richie. You know, that all even they had a cup of coffee at the Haley Center basement. That's about it.
I mean, Jimmy Buffett. I heard he came. He played at Auburn. And he said at that concert that he learned to play the guitar at Auburn to pick up women. I remember that. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And then he went to LSU, right?
I don't remember. But I know that he was from the
Mobile.
Coastal Alabama.
Yeah.
And his grandmother, my wife's grandmother, used to be in the garden club together or something, I think. it was a big thing.
Yeah.
All right. Next question. Josh Corbett asked, "Do you think Austin Wiley is coming back?"
Yeah, we talked about that. I hope so.
I mean, his legacy in this is kind of tarnished right now a little bit, right? So, do you think he needs to come back to change people's perception of him?
Well, I mean, it's just going to be another one of these. There's Auburn with those players they pay. He's like Cam Newton Jr., you know. It's just going to be that same old garbage. I don't care. I don't even want to stress myself about it, honestly. I mean, I hope he comes back because I think we'd be a better team with him. Do I concern myself what people are going to say about him or about us? If I did that, I'd given up and crawled under a rock 10 years ago.
Yeah, no, I 100% like the bad Bruce Pearl takes are out there, and they're going to keep coming, and they'll come next year.
Yeah,
and I'm at you and I are at the point with that where like we were with Cam Newton, like I just raised a black flag and all that stuff, and just
nope,
I don't care if we're perceived as the bad guys because we know Bruce Pearl is not that guy. The guy got in trouble with Tennessee for lying about cooking a freaking hamburger for a kid. So
the humanity. Yeah. Oh, the humanity. He grilled a burger for a kid. I mean, again, it's a broken rule, and that's terrible. You know, firing squad's not good enough for him.
I mean, he's in trouble because he lied about cooking the burger. If he had told the truth about cooking the burger, he'd have gotten slapped on the wrist and they'd have moved on. He'd still be at Tennessee.
And this isn't a world where Bobby Petrino has a job, and I'm sure Baylor guy is going to have a job. Okay, so you know.
Well, and Georgia talked about hiring Rick Pitino after all the terrible stuff they did. He did it in Louisville, and people are like, "Oh, Bruce Pearl's such a bad guy."
What unbelievable, yeah. I know it.
The best thing for those people is if we just keep winning. That's all I'm gonna say.
Absolutely, yeah. Scoreboard trumps everything.
Our next tweet is from Tiger Time, who's at Judson Milligan, who says, "Will we ever find out any info from Malzahn? Why can't a reporter figure out how to sit down with him for 15 minutes? I mean, the answer to that is that Auburn – it doesn't let Auburn Malzahn doesn't want to do that and doesn't have to do that. And so he doesn't want to and he doesn't do it. And I think Auburn is very tight with the information control now, tighter, you know, than they've been in a long time. Nothing gets out. Right. You know, in the old days, the beat reporters could sit and watch stuff and, you know, people would be in the scrimmage and come tell everybody everything. And now they have very tight controls on that stuff. And information, especially the number one thing is like injuries. Like they'd rather you give you a copy of the game plan than talk about injuries. That's not exaggeration. That's like the, you know, on their podcast, they do the podcast that played Nobody. They were talking about this and he was saying that, you know, he was embedded with a lot of coaching staff for like a week at a time during the season. And he said, like, they would just leave the game plan out on the table, whatever. They didn't care. But they, you know, when they were talking about a guy who was hurt and might not play, they would say, "You cannot talk about this."
That's amazing. That's amazing. Wow. That's what it comes down to now.
But it's harder for us as fans. We want to know stuff. We want to know the more details about what happened in the scrimmage, what's happening in practice. But this is the kind of like, you know, they view it as like a defensive information warfare against the other teams that are out there in the SEC, you know, who have hundreds of analysts and stuff. And the more information we give them, the more information they have to use against us, you know, to prepare. So don't tell them anything.
Yeah, I mean, because Brandon's been trying to have us just a sit down long form interview with Gus for years. And he won't do it.
I mean, and that would be great. Like, I think, like from a human interest story, I think there's stuff there.
Yeah.
But you know, it's what it is.
Yep.
All right, that's all the questions.
All right, I'm about to hit a button. You won't hear it. Rome by the B-52s is playing right now.
Let's take a trip around the FTC.
There goes Mira.
With our wheels, Rome.
And that fades out. What do we know is going on around the SEC? There's Tennessee stuff going on around the SEC.
Yes, which I think. So I have a little thought experiment for everyone tonight. If you haven't heard this story. You know, with Tennessee fired the athletic director during the course of last offseason when he was trying to do the football coaching search. And he had attempted to hire Greg Schiano. There was a huge backlash. Mm. He was offered a couple other guys. And then he had actually was negotiating with Mike Leach for the job when they fired him and replaced him with Fulmer. And the media there FOIA'd his records. And they got them all, not just like correspondence, emails from the public with the AD, but all the text messages and stuff, which kind of shows with FOIAs and stuff, you have some leeway over the interpretation of it and what's included or not. And the fact that they included as much as they did, I think is kind of throwing the outgoing guy under the bus. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure they would say they were complying with the letter of the law, but I'm skeptical. But the fun part of this is there's all these emails and text and DMs from fans and message board fans suggesting coaches, fussing at him for the hiring process, you know, saying, why aren't you hiring Bill Belichick and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And what I want you to think about is, if this exact same thing happened at Auburn with
Jay
Jacobs.
And I'm shocked it hasn't, by the way.
Well, but I'm going to say, what if it happened with Jay Jacobs' email? Like, what was the worst point in time for Gus? Mm. Like, 2015, you know.
Well, the time you'd want to see it would be from during Jetgate.
Yeah, but that's
old.
I'm thinking about more modern time, like Jay Jacobs, like after the first the Clemson game with,
oh gosh, you know, yeah,
where we ran the fullback pirouette thing and all that. I'm just thinking about that kind of thing.
That,
maybe
that was the beginning of 16, believe it or not, wasn't it?
I know, but I mean, maybe late 15 when Jeremy Johnson was melting down.
Oh gosh.
I
thought I'd buried all this.
I'm not trying to.
I'm having flashbacks.
But the fun part of this for me is like, if we had that, like, say that, you know, that was we fully at all Jay Jacobs stuff and we got it all. What, number one, who would be the people who would be sending the stuff? And number two, what would it say?
Oh,
what, you know, what would the messages be like?
I'm a science fiction writer, John, and even I can't I can't even go there with all that. I don't even know.
One of the best parts is a bunch of the messages in the Tennessee thing are blank, and it's because there's no text in them. They're literally like memes that people were sending him.
Oh, they were sending him. Oh, and there's
like
no
images.
And they're not included?
No, but so it's just like a blank. It says this from this person at this time, and it's blank because it was a picture, like it was a meme. And there also were direct contacts where Dan Mullen and Les Miles and Brady Hoke contacted him directly trying to get the job.
You know, I could have seen Les Miles in that job.
I think, you know, that he could have gotten Les Miles. Yeah. Les Miles was interested.
Yeah. Just imagine Les and that orange out there on Neyland Stadium. That, wow, that's a sight. Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to imagine some of the things that could come out of that. But I mean, I guess at this point we should be glad that's all in the past and it won't happen. Because, or if it does, it's ancient history now. It's not the current, you know, situation more or less like it is at Tennessee. So, well,
I just thought that was entertaining to think about.
That is. In a horrifying way, right? Yeah, it just makes me all the more happy that, you know, and I agree. You know, I guess there's nobody more than War Bloggle is the big booster of Jay Jacobs, I believe, on Twitter. You know, always saying, you know,
mm-hmm.
He hired Pearl, he hired Gus, he, you know, did this, that, and the other, the baseball coach, the softball coach, and all that. And that's all true. So. But yeah, you got to know there's. I don't even want to dig into the dirty laundry from all those, from all those years. I don't even want to know.
No, but you got to think he got a gazillion messages like that too.
Oh gosh, oh my goodness. Oh that you're right. The days immediately after that Clemson game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised they didn't get a brick through the window like Bill Curry. Good gosh. Last thing I'm going to throw at you, while we also need to be thinking about what game we're going to go to, be thinking about it, is I was in Barnes & Noble the other day, and I saw a Game of Thrones trivia game, kind of like the Lord of the Rings trivia game, and I thought, this is what John and I need for the show. Because when Game of Thrones comes back, or as it's getting ready to come back, we need to do Game of Thrones trivia like we do Lord of the Rings trivia. I think that would be epic. But it was $40, and I'm like, man, I can't pay $40, even of the patron's money, for, you know, a stack of cards. That we're just going to ask questions back and forth. So if you see a sale on Game of Thrones trivia, let me know and I'll pick it up so we can do an episode or two, or maybe do it during our Game of Thrones coverage in the months to come. So
I'll keep my eyes open.
Keep your eyes out. I think that would be fun, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how well I would do, but we'd give it a shot. We're like dead tied all of our Lord of the Rings trivia. It was amazing. Right down the middle. Any last thoughts about Auburn football, basketball, spring before we wrap up for tonight?
No. Enjoy this time of year. I mean, enjoy it. Basketball season's over. If you care about baseball and softball, they're rolling along, and spring practice is, we're approaching A Day. So I assume we'll be in the kind of the dead zone of the summer. So at least now there's a few things happening we could talk about and think about. So,
well, we got the Masters coming up too, which is always fun. At least I like to watch the Masters. It's the only golf I'm interested in just because it's the Masters over there. Formula One and IndyCar both have just started. So Alan Porter and I will be not only doing a James Bond episode tomorrow, we'll also be doing our first 2018 episode of Open Wheel, where we talk about racing, which will be fun. And been a lot of shakeup for both of those racing this year. So we'll see what that's all about. So, all right. Well, I reckon our time is up. We thank you for yours. Wiggle, John.
Wiggle, man.
Thanks for listening to the Wishbone Podcast. All past episodes are available at auwishbone.podbean.com and via iTunes. For more Auburn fun, join us on Facebook at facebook.com/auwishbone and follow the show on Twitter at auwishbone. War Eagle. Becomes of you, my love, when they have finally stripped you off the handbags and the glad rags that your granddad had to sweat so you could buy.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone Podcast.
Go to bed.